Welcome back to Podcast Recovery, everyone. We're your hosts, David O.
And Carly R.
Today, we're joined by our lovely friend, Christina.
Hi.
C-R-I-S-T-I-N-A.
Yes, that's it.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm good.
Still
nervous? Excited to be here. Yeah, I'm always nervous.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Then you're perfect.
Yep.
Where are you from, Christina?
I'm from Pasadena, Maryland.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think I actually knew that.
I did not.
Yeah, so that's actually a valid question.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
And when were you first introduced to recovery?
So my mom took me to my first meeting, and it was the other fellowship, mm-hmm. and she brought me in, and I had to be there. I was court ordered, and I was not going to go by myself, so.
You can say NA or AA.
AA. Okay. So, yep. So she brought me in, and I would not raise my hand. She raised her hand and said, I am Anita. This is my daughter. Like, please help her.
I don't like when people do that. Like,
yeah.
don't do
yeah.
that. Like, they're early in recovery, like, when people wouldn't announce themselves, I'd be like, what's your name, sir? And, like, it dawned on me eventually. I was like, nobody has to introduce themselves at all.
You're
like,
a douche.
You can. I said
You're
I used
a
to.
Douche.
Fuck you, Eric. Stay behind the
but
curtain.
But I'm actually really glad she did, though, because afterwards, like, it was overwhelming. There was, like, a swarm of women mm-hmm. that came up to me, got my numbers. I wasn't driving at the time, so, like, I needed that push to, you know, women reach out to me, like, how are you doing?
Yeah.
And pick me up for meetings.
Yeah.
So,
how old were you?
This was 4 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a brief introduction into NA in my early 20s, where I had to go to a meeting. I was doing IOP and that, yeah, probation, IOP, all that stuff. And I went a couple times. I wasn't ready then.
Yeah.
For sure. But.
And how long have you been clean?
Since January 4th, 2019. So I celebrated 3 years in January.
What is it, a New Year's resolution that you just stuck with?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Well, with all that out of the way, we're going to turn it over to you to share your story
okay.
with us. So take it away.
Where do I start?
The beginning, generally.
The beginning. So
you can do Tarantino.
You start wherever you want
to
start.
You can go the end and then the middle
okay.
and then back
okay.
to the beginning.
Okay.
Go
All right.
with what
I'll
you
start
do.
With my childhood, right? I was brought up in a really loving family. Mm-hmm. My parents, my family is great. My mom had tons of sisters, and it was always like a really loving environment. I always felt like from the beginning that I was just like ashamed of my existence, like in school. Like, I remember riding horses. I loved horses. And this kid once, like in third grade, made fun of me, called me like Christina Horseface or something. And
oh,
like,
God.
Ever since
the
then, I rode horses in high school, and like they would come and get me for the pictures for the yearbook, and like I would not come down. They would make the announcement over the thing, and I'm like, I don't want anyone to know I ride horses. I'm so embarrassed. Why?
Were you ever made fun of?
I don't know.
People always made fun of my last name because I got a weird last name.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Yeah. So, just always embarrassed for, like, not stuff to be, like, my existence,
there's
right?
Yeah,
like,
there's no reason to be embarrassed.
Exactly, right. So,
You're like, sorry you ride a bike, you peasant.
Yeah. So, my drug use, it started with diet pills. That was high
Ooh.
School. Yeah. And I loved diet pills because it helped me to control, right? It controlled what I ate, when I ate, when I was hungry. Mm-hmm. It gave me like a little jittery feeling. Mm-hmm. I felt like it helped me to focus more. And that was like always, I always had body issues, right? Like, I'm too fat. I'm, you know, not pretty enough, whatever. So it started there. And when I graduated, drinking the normal stuff, smoking weed, when I graduated high school, I was dating this guy who had a surgery, and they prescribed him oxys, and mm-hmm. like immediately from there, that's where mm-hmm. we went. And I remember like looking back on it, it was not even a month after that prescription ran out that we were snorting dope. Like, it
Jesus.
Just so fast, right?
Wow.
And that started when I was like 19, so it went until till I got clean. And like,
how old are you? I don't think I know.
I'm 32.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, my story is like, for me, drugs flipped a switch and I went from like
0 to 100.
Yeah, and crazy insane, mm-hmm. right? Like, so my first visit to the psych ward, like my story is like continual psych ward. My first visit to the psych ward, I tripped on acid with an ex-boyfriend, right? And
sorry, not nice.
and we're in my apartment. I'm in college, and he's like out. He went outside, and he's like walking through the woods and coloring. And I thought it was a great idea. Like, let me turn on Donnie Darko. And
I'm
watching
no.
Donnie Darko,
no.
and like plastered on the couch. Like, I can't move until I finish this. I can't move it. And like, it was the worst experience.
That's, yeah, that's
right?
A bad trip.
It was the worst. Such a bad trip. And I woke up the next morning and I was like literally insane. Like, it flipped mm-hmm. a switch. I was failing one of my classes at the time. I was going to UMBC.
Wait, real quick. Uh-huh. Back to the diet pills.
Yeah.
For Requiem for a Dream. Is it like that? Not in the beginning,
but like
it does get
yeah,
there.
It, oh crazy. My God. Yeah, it gets there. There
Have
is
you
some,
seen Requiem?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
That was great. Yeah.
Don't.
Okay.
So, yeah, so I go into school.
Class, yes.
I go into school the next day. I take my dog with me, walk into my professor's office. I remember there's a girl at the front desk and she was scared of pits and she's like, don't bring him in here. I'm like, why? So I go into my teacher's office. Yeah, and I'm like, I'm failing. I need help. Like, telling her about aliens, all this weird shit. She calls campus security. Like, campus security comes up. I'm like showing them my dog's tricks. Like, watch, speak, pup. And he's like barking. It was crazy. So they take me to the psych ward. That was my first visit to the psych ward.
That's such a low-grade reason to bring somebody to a psych ward.
Yeah.
What'd they do with the dog?
They called my parents. Yeah,
Pitbull
so
I know Eric was concerned. He was like, what happened to the dog?
Oh, just wait. There's more dog stories.
Okay, good.
It gets wild. So I'm always like hesitant in meetings to tell my crazy wild stories.
Go crazy.
But yeah, here we are. So as things progress, like I know what acid does to me, right? I've mm-hmm. had this first trip, and I'm mm-hmm. like, how can I take it? And this is like with all the drugs, like how much do I have to take? Who do I have to be with to like make it a manageable experience? Like,
oh, where, see, I went the exact opposite. I was like, how can I make this better?
Right. So, and every time after that, like it was always, so I want to say it's the next time, I don't know, one of the next times I'm like, again, switches my brain to psychotic. I'm at my parents' house. And I decide I'm going to take my dog, my pup, for a walk. And we're walking down the road, and I'm having voices in my head, right? And they're like, there's going to be a car up there, and you're going to take the car. You're going to go to Florida and visit your friend. Sure enough, there was a car.
What, the keys were in the ignition?
The keys were in the ignition.
What the fuck?
Yes. So my dog's talking to me this whole time, like, Mom. I'm a pit bull. I want to fight other dogs. Like, let's go do that.
Oh,
I'm like,
God.
Okay. I put him in the car. We're driving. We go to, my plan is to drive to Florida, right? We're driving, stop in Cherry Hill. And he's like, yeah, drop me off. I'm good. Take me to this house. Go to their house. Tie him up to the front door. Fucking leave. My dog in like Cherry Hill, right? Thank God. Update. My parents went to the shelter and got him and found him, and like he's passed now, but he's okay. But fucking crazy, right? Like, I love my dog so much. That's nuts. So I'm driving in Virginia and like going really fast, and a cop pulled me over and he's like, are you high? I'm like, yeah, I'm high on life. And lock me up. Yeah. Take me to the, I remember like being put on, I was like teasing my hair. So it was like huge, right? I remember being on that closed circuit in front of the judge, and I just flashed the judge. Like, I was insane.
What?
Out of my mind. Yeah. Some wild stuff. Right. So,
I've never heard any of this.
No, this is
so fantastic.
It's wild.
This is opening just windows to who you are. And I'm just like, oh, this is a pleasant breeze.
So like, yeah, the heroin use, all of the uses get worse, like, as we progress. Like, I remember being in the psych wards, and all of my diagnoses were always, like, marijuana-induced psychosis, cocaine-induced psychosis. Like, I was just crazy. Like, that's what it did for me. And sometimes I remember a doctor telling my mom once, like, your daughter has done too much damage at this point. She needs to be on disability. She's not going to be able to have a job, right? And I remember my mom telling me that when we got home. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I fried my brain. Mm-hmm. There's no going back, right?
You're not fried. Dan B is fried.
Leave Dan alone.
I love Dan, but we have to admit that dude is a space cadet. Love you, Dan.
I also love Dan.
But you're on Saturn, man. You're not even here anymore. Okay, anyway.
So all through this time, I'm getting through school somehow, like taking leaves of absences here and there, whatever, graduate, get my bachelor's, decide I want to go back to school, working on my master's. This is like, I actually graduate in May with mm-hmm. this degree that I've been working on for 8 years. I've been working on this degree.
That's
because
awesome.
Like, I'm, yeah, I was getting kicked out, going back, starting again. So yeah, I'm really, it's awesome. Right. So towards the end of my using, it was like, I got my license taken away. I got a DUI. The end is really blurry for me, but, I couldn't get out to get my drug of choice, right? So I would mm-hmm. walk to the store and get, I started using the air duster.
Dust
that stuff.
Off? Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Yes. And that stuff, like, would really
oh, yeah.
make
Fucks
me.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And I would steal. So my last DUI, I took my mom's car. I'm driving up to the store, grab it, come home. Didn't come home, but passed out while I was driving and, like, ran into. I was, like, inches away from this tree, like, ran into this guy's shed. And, yeah, they put me again in the hospital.
That was by far the worst drug I ever did.
Yeah.
You can't even call it a drug.
That was rough.
It was, yeah, 2 months. And then literally I was about to do another one. And I was like, why am I doing this?
Right?
I was like, this is disgusting.
I remember the last time I ever used it, I kept getting... I saw my parents and they were like opening up letters from court and reading it like, oh my gosh, she's done this again. She's, oh my gosh. And I just remember feeling like, oh my God, like this is my, like, look what I'm doing to the people that I love. Like this is insane, right? And I just felt, and that was the last time I put it down and mm-hmm. didn't pick it up again. So the judge told me that I had to come to meetings. And right, I didn't want to go. My mom brought me to my first meeting. Mm-hmm. I was doing IOP and I had a friend in there and she actually brought me to my first NA meeting. And I was like, yeah, this is where my people are. This is where I'm supposed to be. Right. And like I said, I wasn't driving. The women came and picked me up for meetings. And yeah, that was it for me, like having the connection with other women. Cause like all of my life, I was incapable of maintaining any kind of relationships. I had romantic relationships that was all focused around using,
just
right?
Transactional
right.
Relationships.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. And I had right platonic friendships too, but they too was all around the same thing. So like coming into this place, right, the rooms and meeting all these people with this, like, we're working together towards this goal of mm-hmm. not picking up. It's pretty cool. And, yeah, to build relationships, it's, like, it's new for me and it's amazing. And, like, that's what life's about is the connection with other people and, yeah, sharing experiences together.
All right. Good?
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect.
And there's so much more, but like I'm totally blank right now. I'm like, God,
dude,
you gotta help me.
That's perfect.
Like, get information.
All right. Well, we definitely have some questions for you.
David, would you like to go first?
Oh, thank you, Carly. I would love to go first. That's a running joke because I guess I rhetorically ask for people to go first when I guess I really want to go first.
Okay.
He always goes first.
I'm genuine.
That's
I'm
funny.
Like, does anybody want to go first? And they're like, no, David, just go. We know you want to. And I'm like,
I always ask people because I don't want to be first. Yeah.
I don't, like, I'm prepared to be first. Yeah. Whatever. All right. I'm starting with a fun question. And this is for both of you.
Ooh.
How important, and Eric, you can answer this as well. How important are pets in recovery?
So important. I love my pets. I have mm-hmm. three cats. And I didn't think I was ever a cat person. Mm-hmm. I always had dogs growing up. And when I came, like a month before I got clean, I went to PetSmart and got these two cats. And they are so, and I, like I said, I never thought I was a cat person, but they're awesome. And I named them Simon and Garfunkel.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And they're like twins. And a couple months later, Garfunkel got really sick. He was like sick from the get-go. And, he ended up passing away. But how crazy is this?
Well, glad it wasn't Simon.
Yeah, right. Simon's the best. but on the way to the vet, like we had dropped him off. They were doing testing. And we were like, me and my mom were on our way back there. And the vet called. And guess what song was playing on the radio?
The Sound of Silence.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And the vet called.
I would have cried so hard.
We did. Me and my mom both were, like, bawling. God. And the vet called, like, while that song was
just
playing
like
to tell us.
Dead.
Yes, darkness, like, we need to put
my
him.
Friend. You're like, oh, here I am.
Isn't that wild?
That's
yeah.
Horrendous.
Yeah.
You, go.
Tucker is my baby.
I know he is.
Well, I had him. He's, what, 5 and a half? So I had him before mm-hmm. I got clean.
Has your relationship changed?
Yes. Because he is the most important thing in my life. Sorry, Garrett.
About that, Garrett. Fuck you. Love you, Garrett.
But yeah, we spend like all of our time together. We're mm-hmm. also possibly getting another dog this summer.
Dope.
Cool.
Another lab?
I think so, but I'm really worried because I feel like Tucker's going to be sad. So what I picture in my mind, have you ever seen A Secret Life of Pets?
Buddy. Yeah.
So you know how the dog gets really upset when the bigger dog comes home mm-hmm. and he feels like he's been replaced? I'm convinced that Tucker's going to feel like he's been replaced. And aww. So I'm really, yeah. really hesitant about getting a new dog.
I think he's going to love him.
I think now any dog that's not Bo will be a good buddy for him.
Yeah, Bo sucked.
Bo sucked. Eric, how important are your kitties and your fur baby dog?
I mean, I don't think I'd be here without my cats.
Yes, I agree with that.
So
I can imagine just lonely times in that shed of a room with your cats.
I've thought about it. Without my animals, I would definitely be in a much different place mm-hmm. right now.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, the cats, like, they're coming up on like 12 and 13. Mm-hmm. So they were like my first honest try at recovery when I was like 21.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, definitely, like, there's, you know, without them, I did not have much of a reason to live for a long time.
Yeah.
So yeah, they kept me alive. And dogs are fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. you know, seeing them like super happy while like I love walking Luna. Like mm-hmm. that's one of my favorite things to do. Like, she's just like fucking thrilled.
Yeah.
You mm-hmm. know?
Yeah. My first 30 days, I got Dude, and he's been with me for 10 fucking years.
Yeah.
Love that motherfucker. Mm-hmm. So anybody listening, get yourself a pet before mm-hmm. you get yourself a girlfriend or a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Or a kid.
Mm-hmm. Or a kid. Better idea.
Go Kids with a are cat. Cool, too,
Go
though.
With a cat. Maybe start with a parrot. Who knows? Maybe a goldfish. Who knows? Just start something and keep it alive for a while, then move your recovery forward. Okay, Carla, what you got?
That's
a great question.
Yeah.
I did like that question. I forgot to write questions down because I was so just like
amazed by her acid dog walks.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And because like I've never really heard like your story. Like I've heard you share, but like I haven't heard a lot of it. So you mentioned relationships is a really important part of recovery. Like, how did you go about building those relationships when coming into the rooms?
I just showed up, man, right? Or not even showed up, because I wasn't driving nowhere. Mm-hmm. I was just willing to like pick up the phone, like, I need to get to a meeting.
Yeah.
And they came, like, my sponsor Jessica, she spent time with me, right?
Yep.
Like, she came over and I'm like, why does this girl want to spend time with me? Like, I have mm-hmm. nothing.
Yep.
About, right? But that's what she did. She picked me up, took me to meetings, came over, spent time with me. yeah, and that was like my basis for relationships, right? She was the first woman that I trusted her, started working steps with her, mm-hmm. like no reason to lie. Like all the other relationships I've had, man, like I was a web of lies. Like I remember in school, like reading psychology books and like reading about narcissists and or pathological liars and being like, and like condemning myself, like, oh my God, I am a pathological liar. Like, mm-hmm. I have a problem. And I never put two and two together mm-hmm. that, like, if I take the drugs out, I might have a chance of, like, mm-hmm. being honest.
Yeah. You can take a sip of your water.
Yeah. Great idea. Yeah. Thanks. Where is it?
I'm, like, struggling. Mm-hmm. So you're a pathological liar.
Right, weren't we all? I mean, not anymore, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but like once you stop doing behavior that you have to lie about, it gets pretty easy to just not lie about shit.
Exactly.
So you talked about a little bit of like self-image issues mm-hmm. and you started with diet pills and stuff like that. So have you had to address your relationship with food and or body image and recovery? And how have you done that?
Definitely.
Ooh, that was a really good question.
That's something I struggle with, right? Like my relationship with food is tough. I started doing keto like really early into my recovery, mm-hmm. like 6 months clean, and I've been on it ever since. Okay. And now I found that like if I'm not eating low carb, no sugar, like if I eat normal food, it's all or nothing. It's like it's binging and it's
Does it affect your mood?
Yeah, I feel really guilty and shitty and ashamed. Ooh. Yeah, those are the feelings I feel when I do that. And it's something I really need to work on, right? People have suggested, like, try the – there's another fellowship, mm-hmm. OA. Yeah, right. And, I just really want to – I can imagine, like, my perfect – like, I think of, like, the miracle question. Like, what mm-hmm. is your perfect day look like,
What's
right?
the miracle question?
So me and Carly are counselors. So
okay, counsel me, not too much, please.
So yeah, what does your perfect day look like? Where are you? And I'm not obsessed and focused uh-huh. with food. Like I eat to fulfill like my being, like mm-hmm. my physical needs. Yeah. Right, I'm not eating to like. Yeah. And I heard something that when you're overeating and binging like this, it's because you're not grounded. And I was like, ooh, I can relate to that because I've always felt like, you know, not grounded, mm-hmm. Jumping from one thing to the next. So meditation too is something that's helped with that. But I want to feel grounded and like I'm eating not to like fill a void. Mm-hmm. And like working out. I don't want to work out to look a certain way. I just want to work out to feel good, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to feel healthy about myself. And I'm working on that. I'm a work in progress.
Nice. Yeah. We've actually had some overeaters. Have you heard of the top line, bottom line? Mm-mm. So since it's obviously not an abstinence-based recovery, it's a lot more work involved. So basically you have a top line, which is your desired goals, mm-hmm. and your bottom line is like unacceptable behaviors. And the reality of it is you live in the middle. So you aim for the top line, but you're like, okay, I can't do this, but I want to achieve this. But as long as I'm in this range, I don't have to beat myself up.
Right. And that's kind of how I feel with eating keto. Like as long as I'm sticking to these foods and like, honestly, it's not, I don't feel like it's a sustainable diet. Like I want to eat fruit. Right. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I'm working on that. Yeah.
What you got, Carly?
How does your journey in school differ now than it did when you were in active addiction?
I'm so glad you brought this up because there's tons more stuff about like school and work that I left out. School, I remember being so I jumped right back into my master's mm-hmm. program like right away, right? And I remember being so nervous because I didn't have Adderall, and like that was my mm-hmm. I needed Adderall to do anything, like to get out of bed in the morning. And I was so nervous that I wouldn't be able to like absorb information or like sit down and write a paper, but I was. And like turns out I am graduating with a 4.0, like better than I've ever done, right? It's totally possible. And so when I got into recovery, I guess I had like a year clean. I was thinking about the recovery field and working in the recovery field. Mm-hmm. And someone was like, you should volunteer and see what it's like. So I volunteered at a place, and I applied for my drug and alcohol counselor license. Mm-hmm. So I applied for that, and it took like 6 months for them to get back to me. And they wrote me back and they denied me, or they gave me an intent to deny. And they said that my background indicated habitual intoxication and moral turptitude. I was like, wow.
What a word.
Right? And I had to look up turptitude. Yeah. It was like wickedness.
Like, I don't know what that means. Yeah. It sounds rude.
Right? How dare you? And I was crushed. And like again, like my brain, my disease is like, everyone just figured out who you really are. Like, you're a piece of shit. Like, you have nothing to offer. And they figured that out. And like, here we are again at square one. Mm-hmm. And
what does turptitude mean?
Wickedness. So to interject here, because I did look it up. This is this is a terrible.
This is Google.
This speaking. Is actually fucking like a terrible insult.
Really?
Inherent baselessness, yeah, or vileness, shameful wickedness and depravity. So you're baseless. You're depraved. And you're fucking vile, yeah, essentially.
Oh, shit.
I don't think of any of those things.
I think just David added to my lexicon. Yeah. Oh, my God. I can't wait to call one of my fucking coworkers
that. I don't think anyone will know what, like,
what the fuck does that mean? I'm like, Google it, you piece of shit.
You vile, depraved asshole.
He's going to be like, what?
I'm wicked. Yeah. Yeah.
Someone shamefully wicked.
Wait, right. So someone sent that to you, like,
in a letter.
In a letter.
In a professional letter.
Yes. I'm not gonna say, like, but yeah, it was.
That's just, that's fucking rude.
Right? Yeah. So I did, everyone was like, file an appeal. File an appeal. I filed an appeal, and I got in front of them. It was on Zoom, so it wasn't in front of them in person, but right, the board of these people were like interviewing me, and I just did what you guys taught me to do. I was honest and shared my experience, strength, and hope. And they were like, okay, that's great. Here you go. And they gave it to me, right? But so yeah, like anyone that is scared about their background, like now I think about it, like all that shit, like that's part of my resume. Like I've been through some shit, right? That's I'm not leaving any of that out. That makes me who I am today, and I've worked really hard to be where I am today. So I got that license. I'm working in recovery. I'm working with kids at the courthouse doing substance abuse assessments. Mm-hmm. And it's awesome. I'm like, if anything, my hope is that like I'm planting a seed of recovery for them. Like mm-hmm. they aren't always ready to mm-hmm. receive help. I get it. I wasn't either at 17.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then I graduate in May, and I'm really excited to, like, and it just keeps, it's crazy how, like, the jobs I've had in recovery have all came from people in recovery. Like, and this guy, I was talking to him, and he's like, yeah, my job's hiring. We need mental health therapists. And, yeah, that's how God's been working for me. Like, I don't really even have to do, like, I didn't put in an application. Like, someone reached out to me, mm-hmm. and I'm just knocking on the doors that are put in front of me. That's what I keep doing, just showing up.
Nice.
Yeah.
What are you writing over there?
My next question.
Okay.
Well, a question. So you just talked about 17-year-olds not being ready, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You were that young kid with that initial introduction. I think we all had that initial introduction at some point. Maybe not you. You're a goody two-shoes.
Yeah.
But we just, it was in one ear, out the other. Mm-hmm. So why do you think that didn't take for you?
Yeah, I wasn't ready yet.
In any of all your, like, acid escapades, did you think, like, maybe I have a problem? Or were you just like, nah, this is cool?
No problem, yeah. No, I didn't, I don't know what I, like... Literally, like, insane.
Acid's a hell of a fucking drug.
Like, I can't, I can go through and, like, process my thoughts, but they're not going to make any sense to you or me. Like, they just, yeah, there was, like, no. Yeah. And for me, though, it, like, lasted. Like, it wasn't just that couple hour trip. It just stayed for, it made my brain crazy. I remember one time, this is a separate incident, I'm walking down my neighborhood, and,
Did you just trip by yourself?
A few times, yeah. So I'm walking down the street, and there's a donkey. Someone in my neighborhood has a donkey.
Where? Okay.
Pasadena, down Lakeshore Drive. Yeah, there's okay. So I grab the dog. I go in. I get the donkey. I have my dog with me again. So I
stole a car. Stolen a donkey.
You stole a donkey.
Left your dog.
I swapped. So I put Pup in the pasture.
Was Pup's his name?
Yeah, Pup's his name. And I take the donkey and I walk him up to Exxon and I tie him up. And I remember people beep, like, these two guys were driving by and they're like beeping the horn. They're like, yeah, you got a fucking donkey. And I go in Exxon and I get a coffee cake and I come out and take the donkey back and put him back and go home. And that was like,
did you ever hear from the people like, you took our fucking, wow.
No.
Your poor pup.
Yeah, my poor pup.
You left him in the pasture for the donkey.
Right.
Left him on a front door in Cherry Hill.
He was my partner in crime that he did not sign up for any of it.
Apparently the donkey was also lady. Your partner in crime. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that might be the best story since the Missouri meth mob. That's pretty amazing. If you ever want to ask Kim a question, ask her about the Missouri meth mob.
Okay.
Oh yeah, we'll do. That's a good one.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
A fantastic one.
Cool.
And she also willed a child into existence. Remember that, Eric?
What?
When Kim willed a child into existence.
This sounds interesting.
What do you mean?
Like, her boyfriend was about to break up with her, and she just yelled at him. She was like, yeah, well, I'm pregnant. And she didn't even know she was pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, 2 weeks later, she was like, oh,
and there was, like, a meth lab or something. There was, like, a meth mob or something, too, that happened down there.
Wow. See,
I remember that.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I forgot. I remembered the meth mob. I did not remember the willing of the child.
Yeah. Listen to Kim's podcast. It is spectacular.
Sure will. Okay.
And it's, like, 2 hours long. Yeah. It is obscenely long. Okay, Carla, we've got it.
Real quick, I thought of a difference though between now and then.
Okay.
This time around, I remember people saying,
it was a donkey decoration, happens.
I remember people suggesting, like, get on your knees and pray to God. And I remember I had been to a couple meetings, I was still using, and I came home one night and I was like on my knees, rocking back and forth, like, my prayer of desperation, like, God, please help me. God, please help me. And, like, he helped me. Sure enough, like, not long after that,
he gave me the sweet donkey.
No, I put down the drugs, right? Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So time and time again, you were in drug-induced psychosis.
Yeah.
How are you maintaining and managing, like, your mental health now?
So, yeah, that I remember, like I said, when that doctor told my mom that, like, I'm damaged, I've damaged my brain, and I've always been so scared, like, I'm always going to be on some kind of medication or, like, something to, like, make me okay, because what's going to set me off? Like, there's always going to be something. I'm always going to end up in the psych ward. And I never, like I said, put two and two together that, like, put down the drugs and, like, I won't end up in the psych ward. But I have to tell you, like, since being in recovery, I have not struggled with my mental health. And I remember I went to a psychiatrist early in recovery and, like, told her these things. And she's like, wait, like, I want to see what you look like after, like, let's take all these drugs out and, like, let me see what you look like, and then I'll give you a diagnosis. And, like, surprise, I didn't get a diagnosis, like, the first time in my life. Like, I'm not I don't know, I'm crazy, everyone's got their own shit, right? But, like, I being in recovery, like, I have not struggled with that, with, like, depression or just, like, psychotic behavior. I'm really thankful that I'm not inherently a
You've not wicked, borrowed any donkeys right, in recovery? Right.
Yeah, no.
Only an not. Alpaca, thank
I have
you.
Not. Yeah, alpacas, right? They're yes. great. Yep. But yeah, man, and being willing and like showing mm-hmm. up to things, I don't know where I would be if I'm isolated and like not going to meetings and not talking to people. That's a scary thought for me, right? Like to be disconnected from my help. That's what scares me. So this is what's worked for me. I'm always like hesitant to talk about medication and stuff because I get that some people need it. Like I've been on Wellbutrin since being in recovery and like that's worked for me. Mm-hmm. Cool. I'm actually trying to get off it. I have a plan in June to mm-hmm. to stop it, right? Because I'm getting married. I mm-hmm. want to have a kid. I don't want to be on any of like nothing, right?
Yeah.
So that's my goal is for June to we're gonna taper me down and I'm gonna get off it. And I'm scared. Like mm-hmm. I don't ever want to be back in the dark places that I've been. Mm-hmm. But I know as long as like I keep I'm aware of like my feelings. I have a plan, like I'm gonna journal, I'm gonna keep going to the gym every day, go to meetings, like just set myself up for success, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I had to venture a guess where you'd be riding an alligator in Florida. That's just top of my head. I don't know. All right, another fun question. What's the weirdest thing about Martin?
The weirdest thing about Martin?
Yeah, I want to know. We're going to put it out
He's
there.
He's going to hate me.
So when Martin's listens to this. Just something goofy. Just something super quirky that he does.
He farts in our cat's faces. It bothers me so much. It really does. He'll just like squat down and like just fart in their face. I'm like, babe, why? What do they do?
He and cracks like, up every time, doesn't he?
And there's with Alan specifically, it's really just with Alan. I don't know. So he talks down to him, like he says it in a nice way, like, hey, you little piece of shit. And he says it in a loving way, I guess, right? But I'm
just
like,
just with that
babe.
Tone, just a loving tone.
And it's funny because he brought up this, like, there's like this water, this water experiment where like people were talking lovingly to water and then like they were like really degrading and nasty. And then when you look at the water frozen, like the snowflakes are like really pretty and beautiful or like distorted and gross if like you're talking meanly to the water. And I'm like, remember that, babe? Like
you're giving our cat
yes,
tumors,
right?
Dick.
Yeah.
Oh my god, he just farts in your cat's face. Martin, you need to call Herb. You gotta call Herb. This has to be talked about. If that is not on your four step, you owe an amends to your cat. Get him some fucking tuna. Good lord, that's hilarious. That's amazing. Okay.
Yeah.
You're all up?
Yeah.
All right.
One question we didn't ask in the middle of the story. What was your first drink?
Oh, yeah.
My first drink? Like, what was it or
when
was
what
it?
What was your first drink?
Oh, gosh. Oh, I remember. It was at the St. Patrick's Day Bazaar in eighth grade. It was beer.
What kind?
I don't remember. Yeah.
What's St. Patty's Day Bazaar? What is it?
So I went to St. Jane's.
Okay.
And they had every year on St. Patrick's Day, they had like these games, like you would go to these different tables. They had like wheels you could spin and like things you could buy. Yeah.
So you grew up Catholic.
I did.
Are you still Catholic?
No, I'm not.
Okay. So what?
I mean, I don't practice it.
Yeah.
I'm still like, it's funny because I'm on my 11th step and I feel like prayer and meditation has came really easy for me. Mm-hmm. And when I look back on growing up, like I was raised Catholic. I did mm-hmm. all those things mm-hmm. like First Communion, Confirmation, mm-hmm. kneel, stand, Our Father.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't really mean anything.
Can you still recite
me.
The Hail Mary?
Yeah.
Do it.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord. Why are you making it? Woman, blessed, true, divine, Jesus, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for sinners and out there, and of our death, amen. And like sometimes.
Because I didn't
like,
know it. I'm not Catholic.
When I don't know like what to pray about or, you know, I'll like have conversations with God or like I'll talk to God, tell him what I'm struggling with. But like when I'm like a go-to, like I lean on my old Catholic prayers. Mm-hmm. And for me, like, I always was in Bible class, and I would always get so frustrated still because, like, I've studied the Bible and I don't understand a word of it.
It's
I really
nonsense.
Don't. I don't so, understand sorry. A word of it.
So I have a question real quick, since there are Catholics here.
There are two.
And I don't understand. So what's up with Catholic Pilates? Like, why do you go up, down, sail, down,
oh, nail,
sail,
up?
I was like, what? I was like, down, what do you mean? Nail, I was sail, like, okay, up. I get it.
Right? It is. Catholic Pilates.
Yeah, it's yoga, dude.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know either. Purpose,
what, wait,
really?
What? You don't know? But that's
I
like
don't.
One of the main things.
It's what we're told to do, so we did it.
Yeah. Dude. Like, yeah. They all have their traditions.
Right, Carly, do you know?
Yeah. No, that's what we were told to do. Right.
Judaism has their quirks, too.
No, but I'm sorry. But why do you not know one of the main things?
They never explained it to us gave us
a
reason.
That's pretty innocuous. Mm-hmm. Like, why
we
would
go to
you
church,
have to
we follow
that?
The congregation, why we sit, you, we stand, yeah. we kneel.
Why mm-hmm. would you have to know that, David?
Why? Are yes, you, why would
you
have
think
to
if
know
someone
that?
Came I mean, up to me and dude, was like, Eric, go sit over there and then stand up and go over
Eric,
there and then kneel?
You and I you are think, a different breed. We are that? Total turds. Especially
God,
in the
your turpitude, dude. You're fucking turpitude.
Oh, definitely. In the eyes of the Pope, 100%. Both of us. We have a special ring of hell for us, buddy.
Yeah.
See you there. Hopefully our first class tickets. Yeah.
So I'm on the 11th step right now, mm-hmm. and I remember I answered a question, like, I forget exactly what it was, but, like, yeah, I that's great. I love, like, Bible thumpers and, like, their enthusiasm for this
anything,
stuff. And, like,
anything that works for
I've
you,
tried,
please do it.
Man. Yeah, like, I wish that I could understand what it was saying, but mm-hmm. I just don't. Mm-mm. Yeah, so.
Yes.
So I believe in, like, the universe. I have a higher power, mm-hmm. and, like, he works through other people, like, nature. I look at other animals. I don't know. So I'll like look at monkeys.
Clearly,
and
you
stuff.
Have a kinship.
Listen, I'll look at an animal. I'm like, oh my gosh, he looks like Simon, my cat. I feel like all the animals look like Simon. I was thinking about it, like maybe I'm just seeing God, is what I'm seeing. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, you definitely did too much acid.
Yeah,
definitely fried something in there. Couple cross wires for sure. But you do have one more question. That you didn't ask. The manifestation.
Oh. How has your addiction manifested itself in recovery?
With the food thing, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with eating. And, food has never felt like a drug like that for mm-hmm. me. Like, when I was using, I didn't struggle because I took so much drugs to kill my appetite, right? And yeah. I didn't really think about it. Mm-hmm. I guess I still loved food, but... yeah, and now I'll have dreams about cake, and I love cake, and like I don't eat cake right now, and I'll have to, and it's like relapse dreams, like I'll be in it and I'm eating it, and then I'm like, no.
Didn't they give you like 2 pounds of that Swiss cheese?
Yeah, I ate all that cheese too. Yeah, uh huh.
I ate all that cheese.
Dude, she wasn't even slicing it. She just had a wedge and just straight into it like it was a fucking carrot.
Yeah,
it was kind of amazing.
Cheese is that good?
Cheese is amazing.
That was, I remember you got like a big ass thing of cheese for, they like
it was mismatched. Uh-huh.
Yes. Cause so, I was like.
Anybody who's listening, I'll tell a quick story. So my wife and I, we go into a Giant, and sorry if you're listening, Giant, fuck you guys. But just for shits and giggles, I was like, well, how much does this wheel of cheese cost? And I flip it over and it said $13. And somebody had clearly misprinted the label and forgot a decimal point. It was supposed to be $130. Wow. And I was like, I'm buying this just on principle. So I did. I bought a 23-pound wheel of cheese, and I'm cracking up the whole fucking time. My wife's like, shut the fuck up, or they're gonna know something's going on. And like, we get up to the counter, if it scans up as 130, we're leaving it. I was like, okay. And I scanned it, it was $13. I was like, oh my god, I have 23 pounds of cheese. And
that is really exciting.
How could you not
and
buy
then you
20
sliced it up and gave it to everyone?
Yes. Yeah. I just everybody had some
I
of my Jarlsberg Swiss.
It, huh?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
It mm-hmm. was amazing. Mm-hmm. Probably one of my greatest stories.
Mm-hmm.
All right, final question. You can only pick one. What is your favorite step?
I'm going to say the 11th step.
Okay.
I'm on it right now. And that's not why, but I feel like I've always like predetermined the 11th step that it was going to be my favorite because prayer meditation, like mm-hmm. I said, always has came like so easy to me. Like I don't yeah. feel like there's any kind of like struggle there.
No.
Right?
There's really no expectations and most, you don't have to explain it yeah, to anybody.
Right? Yeah. That's
a solid answer.
Yeah.
Solid answer.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have any questions for us?
Oh, that's a first.
Yeah. I like
caught this. Me off guard. Do you have any donkey stories?
Do I have
You don't any have a donkey story, but you got stories. Some donkey stories.
He does.
Yeah, and they're going to be called donkey stories from now on. Fuck.
Plenty of them.
I think the best donkey story I've ever heard from David is
I know what you're going
to
say.
Is he has this like weird proclivity to like fecal matter for some reason.
I would poop in golf holes. On a semi-regular basis. I would also pee in people's mailboxes.
Stop.
I was so bad, like, it got to the point where, like, I would go up to a mailbox, I would open it, and if it didn't have mail, I'd be like, nope, we gotta go to one that has mail.
Now that is moral turpitude.
That right? is moral yeah. turpitude, exactly. Like, you, I don't see it. Me, I'm like, oh yeah, that fits.
I mean, 100% moral turpitude.
I stopped it in addiction.
In like, recovery.
No,
did
no,
you
no,
just
no,
hear
no,
that,
no.
guys?
In
did you hear
addiction.
That?
In addiction. It was a Freudian slip. No, I stopped like mid-addiction because I was like, what am I doing? I'm not even ruining somebody's day. I'm ruining their whole week. And then fucking, of course, I'm going over it in like my fourth step. And Herb's like, what if you peed on the last letter somebody got from their dying grandmother? I was like, oh my God. I was like, why did you have to say that to me? He was like, that's the potential damage you could have done. I was like, well, now I feel even worse about it. And he's like, you know what you can do about it? I was like, no. He was like, nothing. I was like, motherfucker. He was like, all you can do is not pee on people's mail. But if in the future, think about that. But in the future, if someday somebody pees on your mail, you're not allowed to get mad for even a second. I was like, God damn it, you're right. Mm-hmm. Son of a bitch.
Well, you were holding on also to, like, at least those, like, rich people got what they deserved at the golf course.
And then you flipped the script. So I thought I was, like, because I just had this thing about rich people. I was like, because I wasn't a rich person. I wasn't rich growing up, and it was in the middle of Columbia, so I was surrounded by them, and I was like, I'm going to get back at these rich motherfuckers. So I'd poop in their golf holes, and Eric explained that, what?
Well, it was, you were like, well, yeah, they'll reach down and, you know, then they'll have like poop on their hands because of the hole. But no, that's not what will happen. The groundkeeper will Aww. Definitely hit
some
that
poor
hole
guy.
Before.
Some poor guy. Some poor guy just doing his job. Yeah. Not even rich.
One of those yeah. blue collar dudes
just
coming
blue collar guy. I fucked up his day too. Just pooping in a golf hole.
Reaching right. Terrible. He's going to be, yeah.
Oh. So we, last donkey story. So we used to go out drinking and driving as a group and.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, it was fun. It was a good time. And we would always go to like Western Howard County and any sort of reflector or little like pull up sign we would take. And it was with my girlfriend at the time. And she was like, let's go stick them in my parents' front yard where she still lived. So we would go and just put like 50 signs just on a Saturday night, nice. Always in their fucking yard. And we did this for probably 5 years.
Wow.
And they were like, who keeps doing this? Like, they set up camp. Like, they tried to catch it. It never happened. She was just pranking her own family
That's
for fucking
great.
Years with our moral turpitude. All right. I think we are about out of mm-hmm. questions. So we would like to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, guys.
And one quick minute to talk to anybody out there who's struggling, needs to hear a message of hope. What do you have to say to them?
Just show up, right? Like, there's a place for you. There's a, yeah, just give it a shot. Pray. Talk to someone. You're not alone.
Yes.
Yep. And you're not alone.
Stop practicing your turpitude.
Yes.
Stop yep. doing that.
You're not morally turpitude.
Don't steal.
There's a solution.
Wait, hold on. Real
That's
quick.
Such an uppity insult. By
I know.
The way. Like,
it's such a snooty insult. I love it. What? Do you have a donkey story?
I was trying to think while you were answering it. I don't know if I do.
You don't have a single donkey story. Nothing? You had to have done some crazy shit. I've heard Eric's like donkey stories where he crashed like two cars, and, like,
three cars,
three cars in what, a week?
No, in a day.
Oh wow!
In a week.
A week.
My last DUI, I crashed on the Bay Bridge.
Ah, you fucked up everybody's day.
Yep. It was insane.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, it's
driving like a psycho. They had it all on camera. There was like, it was crazy.
Nothing?
Nothing comes to mind. Like, nothing sticks out.
Okay, well, that's your homework for this week.
Okay.
I want to talk
You got one in there.
I'm sure I do.
Yeah, you're just on the spot. I get it. All right.
But I also didn't do like fucked up shit like you did. So.
She doesn't check the box for moral turpitude.
No, I don't think I do.
Turpitude for Carly. Okay. Good. Fucking Catholic. Goody goody. I love you. All right.
Flew under the radar.
Oh, I know. You were slick as shit.
Uh huh.
We were not. All right. Here at Podcast Recovery, we are aiming to expand the scope of support for recovering addicts. Accessibility and convenience of helpful services is paramount to combating addiction. We work to bring the message of recovery to every addict, wherever and whenever it is needed. We believe that a powerful voice of recovery should be obtainable, practical, and at the touch of a button. Every addict deserves to hear a message of hope, and Podcast Recovery is here to provide it. All right, everybody, thanks for joining us. Make sure you go to all of our social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. For more information about us, go to podcastrecovery.com. Like, share, subscribe, as always. If you'd like to be part of our family and help us keep the mics on, please go to our Patreon and throw us a few shekels, because we are fully self-sustaining. Yeah, so thank you, Christina, again. You're fantastic.
Yeah. Thank you.
And thank you, listener, for joining us today. But most importantly, everybody out there,
stay safe and stay clean.